One of the most popular Christmas presents is also one of the most unused. WREL has the do's and don'ts for gift cards, like how to avoid expiration dates and sneaky hidden fees.
Imagine having to pay to drive on US 1. Coming up, I'll tell you why Franklinton town leaders say they're not opposed to it.
We've got rain on the radar and more on the way. I'll show you who will see the heaviest showers and when.
Right now at 7, a rainy night across parts of the viewing area. Taking a live look at some of those places, Sanford, Apex, Chapel Hill, and even RDU Airport on one of the busiest days to fly home after the holidays. Thank you for joining us this evening. I'm Ashley Rowe. This is a live look at the radar right now. The showers are going to stick around off and on through the overnight hours into your Wednesday. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a timeline on when we dry out, Kat.
After lunchtime, Ashley, we've got a ways to go, and after tomorrow, after about noon, we'll still see some light rain around, but the bulk of this rain is going to be moving through the area from now through about 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. So if you've got any plans during that time frame, you're going to need the umbrella. We have some pockets of heavy rain out there as well ahead of the cold front. That cold front's what's sparking these widespread showers. Some heavier rain moving through the sand hills right now. We also have some heavier rain moving right along I-85 in Granville County. It's a steady rain here in the Triangle. Our eastern counties just haven't seen as much rain yet, but it is coming, and this is going to be a healthy dose of rain with more than half an inch of rain in the forecast for the entire area. Henderson, seeing the rain filling in, Roanoke Rapids and Lake Gaston as well. It's widespread in the Triangle, making its way toward Johnston County. It's been slow to arrive there. And Fayetteville, the Sandhills, still seeing steady rain coming down. Futurecast continues to show this wave of rain in the area, 11 midnight, and really sticking around through early tomorrow morning. By 8 a.m., we do still have some showers around for the morning commute. We'll see some of that band of showers stick around through about lunchtime. And then after that, it's lighter and it's going to be much more patchy, what we see on the radar. But there still will be some showers on the radar during the afternoon. The good news is that chance goes down to about 30%. This same system is also going to bring some much cooler air. Don't get too used to the 60s. I'll let you know when that cool down arrives coming up.
All right, Kat, we'll check back in with you in just a few minutes. Hey, we want to get you a look at the busy night in the skies. This is an incredible view of all the air traffic right now. A winter storm out west is starting to have a ripple effect on air travel on an already hectic day for people flying home. Chris Lovingood is tracking impacts in the WREL Live Center. RDU seeing more than 60 delays today. That's up from 40 just a couple hours ago, Chris.
You know, it is. And actually, I do want to point the attention to the misery map. I know you had one version of it. I want to show this one to kind of save a little bit of those delays and cancellations nationwide. I hit the refresh button and a lot more red popped up on the map here. So that just kind of goes to show you what's happening in regards to weather. You can clearly see it right here on the map showing you there in the Midwest as that snow is pushing that way as well. Now, I want to bring you over to something else that we're following here in terms of weather, possibly weather-related crash here. This is a serious crash on US 70 at Glenwood Avenue. Trying to reach out to authorities to get more specifics on this crash to see if this was, in fact, weather-related. Haven't quite heard back, so I'll stay on that. One last thing I want to show you this. Thought I had a thing of RDU up here, but that's okay. I want to bring something up on the screen because earlier in our newscast, or at 6 o'clock, WREL's Liz McLaughlin had mentioned that the lights were flickering at RDU. I just heard back from RDU within the past 20, 25 minutes or so, and they say, quote, airport staff is responding to a temporary power blip that affected limited portion of the campus, but no impact to the airport operations at this time. Of course, we'll keep monitoring this to see if there is any sort of impact. But yes, very busy out there, but that weather definitely going to be affecting some of those flights there.
All right, Chris, thanks for staying on it. After clothing, gift cards are the most popular gift for the holidays. You may have given or received some gift cards this year, but you know, not everyone's using those gift cards. As WREL's Shelley Jackson tells us, that's adding up to big bucks in unused gift cards.
Americans were expected to spend $30 billion on gift cards this holiday season. The most popular gift cards are restaurant gift cards. That makes up a third of those sales, according to the National Retail Federation.
Back in the day, we gave money, but it's gift cards now.
But many people put their gift cards away and forget about them.
Do you have any gift cards that you haven't used?
Oh, yeah, tons. It's like I'm waiting for that special moment, and it never comes.
Tracy Cole is among the 47% of adults who have an unused gift card.
I've had one for probably 4 years now.
Many people hold on to their gift cards, waiting for that special purchase.
Normally, I save them because, especially if it's like a Visa gift card or a MasterCard gift card, like I'll save them till like there's another purchase that I want to make. That way, I don't have to actually use like my cash.
Keep an eye on what's on sale and what I do need.
Federal law requires cards to last 5 years after purchase or the last time it was topped up.
But it's like for some reason, I just feel like just use it now so that way I don't forget it and then it's in the drawer and then 5 years pass and it's like I had $100 worth of gift cards in a box.
And you can sell unused gift cards online. Websites like Raise and Card Cash offer 70 to 80 cents on the dollar. But if you want to maintain your purchasing power, use your cards quickly, like Carol Davis.
Do you have a lot that are unused?
Heck no, no. I don't let them go that long.
Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Yeah, I'm with Carol. Hey, as you start returning or exchanging Christmas gifts that didn't quite work out, there are some policies that are a bit different this year. We want to tell you about them. Some retailers have changed their policy in order to cut down on various expenses and reduce return volume. Amazon is only receiving returns on purchases made on or after November 1st. Target has an extended window for electronics if bought between October 1st and Christmas Eve. Walmart has a January 31st deadline for items bought in October through December 31st. Tonight, a local ER physician is warning about the dangers of tiny batteries that come in many of those new electronics or toys, games often gifted for Christmas. While small, these button batteries can spell huge problems if they are ingested. They can burn a hole in a toddler's esophagus in less than 2 hours. According to one Duke physician we talked to, that can pose a severe medical emergency that cannot be ignored.
The even scarier part is your aorta, which is the largest blood vessel in your body, lays right behind the esophagus. And so then that's a really scary problem, which can lead to life-threatening bleeding.
From 2011 through 2021, the Consumer Product Safety Commission says there were 27 deaths and more than 54,000 injuries treated in emergency rooms associated with ingested or inserted button, cell, or coin batteries. A Fayetteville couple was killed when police say another driver ran a red light and slammed into their car. It happened Christmas Day at the busy intersection of Rayford and Hope Mills Roads. Police say 26-year-old Michael Smith Jr. was traveling north on Hope Mills Road when he ran a red light. That's when they say he ran into Jada and Patricia Fields. The couple was driving on Rayford Road. An employee at a nearby business heard the crash and came outside after police and EMS were on scene.
But you did see them take out the young lady from the gold car that was in the ditch, and they did try to resuscitate her. Unfortunately, they weren't able to, so then they did, you know, transport her into the ambulance.
Police say the couple died at the scene. Smith faces a total of 12 charges. Because he has not been charged with a felony, we're told he was cited and released. A blood drive this week will honor a fallen Raleigh fire captain. Captain Nathan Burgess died last month after a battle with cancer. His wife started a fundraiser called the Phoenix Project in his memory. The goal is to raise awareness about firefighters' risk of exposure to carcinogens and hazardous materials. Tomorrow and Thursday, a blood drive will be held to raise money for the Phoenix Project. It'll be at Elks Lodge on Lead Mine Road. The charity will receive $25 for every blood donation. Sushi 9 apologizing tonight after hundreds of people reported getting sick from its restaurant. It posted on social media saying, "We sincerely apologize that many of you became ill after dining with us." The post goes on to say the health department has declared the health concern over. Public health officials interviewed more than 240 people who reported getting sick between November 28th and December 5th. Test samples collected tested positive for norovirus. A spokesperson tells WRAL the volume of complaints they received in that one-week time frame was significant. It's time for some upgrades on the heavily trafficked US 1. Why some Franklin County leaders are interested to see if a toll road could help them see improvements sooner. Plus, a food truck hotspot is no more after some businesses set up shop in the same place for years. What's behind the change in Rocky Mount next? And as we head to break, here is a live look at a rainy downtown Raleigh. Kat Campbell has your forecast coming up after the break. Franklin Village and town commissioners are interested in how a toll road might help upgrade heavily trafficked U.S. 1. If you look at this map, it shows exactly what we're talking about from I-540 northward. It's part of a proposal that town leaders approved to support a study. As WRAL's Destiny Patterson reports, it's not the only town looking to see progress in the U.S. 1 corridor.
Tens of thousands of cars travel through the U.S. corridor on any given day.
There's a lot of traffic here.
It's a lot of traffic that goes back and forth.
The congestion is causing concern for towns like Wake Forest and Franklinton, which is just beyond the corridor. Town leaders worry the bumper-to-bumper traffic will negatively impact the quality of life and the strength of the economies of the communities along the corridor.
After many delays, Franklinton town leaders say that it's time for some very much needed upgrades. In a vote, they agreed that they want to see if a toll road will help them see those improvements sooner.
Wouldn't be good.
Pam Godfrey was the only person I found who was even remotely okay with the idea of a toll road.
Eliminate some of the traffic.
Franklinton's vote comes just about a month after Wake Forest commissioners approved a similar resolution. The study would focus on U.S. 1 from I-540 to the Franklin County line.
What changes would have to be made from the current designs, plans that we've already been studying for years? And then is there an opportunity to accelerate the corridor?
Most drivers, like Jill Kearney, aren't fond of the idea.
First of all, why?
Upgrades have been in the works for most of the corridor for years. However, the Transportation Department says the cost of highway construction has drastically increased. So funding for much of this project that was previously committed has been dropped for now.
Not unique to U.S. 1 corridor.
Town leaders say a toll road could be the way to fund the upgrades the corridor desperately needs. Kearney says she'd rather not pay more money to get back and forth.
And we already pay taxes, and it's costly.
I want to emphasize that this vote is only to support a study to see how a toll road might affect the U.S. 1 corridor. So there's nothing concrete in the works at this point. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News.
If you live in Rocky Mount, some of your favorite food trucks might have to move. We're talking about the ones typically in the Hobby Lobby parking lot on Sutter's Creek Boulevard. Some of the food truck owners tell WRAL a property management group says they can't park there anymore. Owners say they were asked to move weeks ago. They don't know why. They do know it's going to affect business.
This is not just going to impact me, but this is also going to impact other business owners that some of them don't travel outside of Rocky Mount as much as we do. So I'm like, this income is going to, you know, this is going to hurt their income for the holidays.
E&T says that there has been an outpouring of support from business owners who will allow the trucks on their property as a substitute. The property manager did not respond to WRAL's questions. Today is the first day of Kwanzaa. It's a week-long non-religious celebration observing African Americans' ancestral roots. The name Kwanzaa comes from a Swahili phrase that means first fruits. Each day of the celebration has its own principle. Today's is unity, followed by creativity, collective responsibility, self-determination, faith, and purpose. A candle is lit each night of the celebration. Several Kwanzaa events are being held around our area this week. Today, people celebrated at the Haiti Heritage Center in Durham. The public was invited to participate in a candle lighting ceremony, arts and crafts, and a panel discussion. A Kwanzaa event is happening at the Cary Arts Center on Friday. It runs from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Admission is free. It'll feature music and storytelling sessions, plus a performance highlighting the seven principles from a child's perspective. And then on Saturday, it's a Kwanzaa celebration in Raleigh. It's at the Fruit of Labor World Cultural Center on Lake Ridge Drive. More food, music, storytelling, and dancing. That's Saturday afternoon from 2 until 6. And finishing touches are being put on for WRAL First Night Raleigh in just 5 days. We are expecting tens of thousands of people to pour in downtown. I can't wait. It's the 32nd year of the largest New Year's Eve celebration in Eastern North Carolina. You can expect usual favorites like the Ferris wheel and the City of Oaks staple, the giant acorn. It'll drop with a fireworks display at 7 o'clock for the kiddos and then again at midnight. New this year, a different amusement ride called the Tesla AC. Early birds can hit City Plaza music performances and the children's celebration. It all gets underway at 2 o'clock. The people's procession and the music at the main stage kicks off at 6.
Everyone's just pouring into these downtown businesses to support our city. And it's just such an amazing benefit of this festival.
The event will last from 2 until midnight. Go to our website for ticket details. And hey, we are your home for WRAL First Night Raleigh. Expanded coverage of all the festivities begins on Sunday at 10 p.m. on Fox 50. And then our coverage continues straight through the midnight acorn drop and fireworks. You can also watch the acorn drop on WRAL right after the Sunday night football game. And hey, starting today, you can donate your Christmas tree to have a new life as part of a Wake County trail. The Wake County Recycling Program turns donated trees into mulch that help keep the county's parks and trails looking good. There are 8 drop-off locations across the county. You can find the one nearest you online. You can go to wake.gov for that. The program runs through January 28th. Let's get over to meteorologist Kat Campbell as we take a look at North Hills. Yeah, the rain's coming in pretty hard, isn't it, Kat?
It is, and it's just going to stick with us tonight. A good dreary night in, if you will. It's going to be good sleeping weather with the rain likely to continue overnight. In Franklinton, a live look downtown here from Mason and Main. The rain is coming down. The roads are wet. It's going to be like this through much of the night. This is a big area of rain that continues to slowly move to the east. It's a soaking rainforest. Some areas already seeing over half an inch of rain tonight, with several more hours to go with this band of showers very slowly moving to the east. There will be some pockets of heavier rain, but it's really just a nice steady rainforest tonight, and it should give us a healthy dose given that parts of our state are still under moderate drought. This is a cold front that's bringing the rain out ahead of it, but we're watching an area of low pressure starting to spin up as expected off the coast. That will help to provide some additional forcing for some rain early in the day tomorrow. And the same cold front is, of course, going to usher in some cooler air. So don't get too used to the 60s. We've had a nice stretch. We have a couple more days in the 60s before this colder air reaches us. It's 33 in Kansas City, 34 in Minneapolis, 37 in Chicago, still 60 in Cleveland. This blue, though, that's the air mass that's going to be moving into the area on Friday. And it's going to come with a chill. Friday is going to be a blustery day and much cooler. So be prepared for that change. You know, our normal high this time of year is 50. So we're going to just be a lot closer to normal Friday through the weekend and New Year's Eve and day. Tomorrow, though, 65, that comes with some rain, and 60 degrees are forecast high on Thursday. For the remainder of the evening, future cast shows, rain will continue. We expect to see that same band of rain I showed you on the radar moving slowly to the east. Midnight, still pretty decent coverage of the rain. And then as you wake up tomorrow morning, especially for the early morning risers, that's when we've got the best chance of showers. But even through the main morning commute at 8 o'clock, we've got some rain, at least in parts of our area. We see improvements, though, as we head toward lunchtime and into the afternoon. However, it's not a completely dry radar. We still have the potential for a few spotty showers into the afternoon, but the main event is tonight and tomorrow morning, and it's just going to be more spotty after that. So we'll see some improvements during the day tomorrow. If you are trying to get a head start on your exercise for the new year, getting out to the greenways, tomorrow afternoon is going to be your best bet. In the morning, definitely not so nice, and it's probably going to be pretty muddy out there. But check out these temperatures, 8 a.m., 58 degrees by 10 a.m. We could already be in the 60s. Hard to believe it is late December, mid 60s for highs tomorrow afternoon. Thursday ends up being a relatively nice day. It's dry, but partly to mostly cloudy skies. 60 for the high, and then here comes the cool down Friday and into the new year. It's going to be feeling a lot more like winter out there. At this point, it looks dry as we usher in 2024. If you're going to be out in downtown Raleigh celebrating WRAL First Night, I think we should have some pretty good weather, but you will want to bring a jacket. Temperatures are likely to be in the 40s as we ring in the new year.
Okay, Kat, thank you. And I am so looking forward to that First Night Raleigh. It's going to be a good time. Hey, still ahead, if your family is looking for something special to do while on winter break, you can check out some holiday magic only about 2 hours from the Triangle, where you can take a winter holiday train ride next. And you can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WRAL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end. Morning, noon, evening, and now the 7 p.m. newscasts are added to the podcast each day. You can find WRAL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Taking a live look at a wet downtown Raleigh. Yeah, we'll have to deal with that overnight and into tomorrow morning. So if you're like me and you're going to be taking the dogs out early, be sure to wear a rain jacket. Hey, the Powerball jackpot is climbing even higher. You know, no one matched all the numbers on Christmas night. So that means tomorrow night's jackpot is now worth $685 million. A North Carolina ticket did win $100,000. Congratulations to you. You can watch tomorrow night's drawing right here on WRAL right before our 11 o'clock news. The NC Transportation Museum is capturing the excitement of the holidays with winter holiday train rides. In the town of Spencer, the museum's trains have been taking thousands on a Polar Express ride to the North Pole. It's about a 3-mile train ride filled with performances along the way. And it's not too late for families to take the journey and experience the excitement of the season.
The train cars are still decorated for Christmas, and families can come and spend their, you know, the kids' vacation out of school coming here just to take a train ride with their family. And it's just turned into a tradition that people love to come back and do.
If you're interested, the trains run 3 to 4 times a day on the tracks around the museum grounds. Families are encouraged to then go inside and see all the history that the museum has to offer. Today, many kids enjoying their newest toys. Santa also visited one of the Triangle's best behaved dogs. Ripken the Bat Dog posted on social media that Santa Paws came. The good boy celebrated in his signature collar. He looks like he's pretty happy with what Santa brought down the chimney. Ripken did report that he will be going to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Did you see some Pop-Tarts there? Hopefully he can bring some of his toys on that trip. Surprises are to be expected on Christmas morning, but the one a North Carolina family woke up to this year was anything to be expected. Their 3-year-old opened all of their presents at 3 a.m. Dad explains why his son said he opened the presents.
All right, I just have to add, my son's version of the events was he came downstairs and wanted to open all the presents so no one was confused and they all knew what they had gotten. That's his story, so.
Oh, yeah, he goes on to say that things turned into a mission to save Christmas that morning. They rewrapped all the presents so that their 2 children could open something up when they woke up. Oh, I actually just got off the phone with them. Oh, bless their hearts. Thanks for making WRAL your choice for local news. Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.